You are listening to KVSC and FM HD St. Cloud and KMOJ HD3 Minneapolis St. Paul, and this is your college and community radio station. Today we're excited to present the presidential update live with St. Cloud State University's news president, Dr. Robin Wachter. Dr. Wachter, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Can you believe it's December already?
Last week of school before finals.
I know.
It's a stressful time, but a very relieving time.
Absolutely. The good news, it's almost over. The bad news, oh my gosh, it's almost over.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much for coming into the studio today. Every semester here on KVSC, we talk to our school president to get an overview of what's going on around the university and to get a glimpse of what plans you have in store. But because this is your first semester here, I'm sure our listeners would love to get to know you a little bit better. So before becoming our top leader here at St. Cloud, you wore many hats at the University of Northern Colorado?
That's right, yes.
From being a tenured professor to a senior campaign advisor to being the senior vice president of academic affairs, how do you feel these positions have prepared you to become a university president?
Boy, that's a great question. And I have to say that having the good fortune of being in all of these different positions in a university really does prepare you to understand how a university works and all the moving parts. Everything from facilities to parking to research to teaching, you do it all. So when you come into a position of president, it really gives you some background information to be able to help engage others in how we do our work.
Very cool. So you've been described as a charismatic leader, the brilliant next-door neighbor, and a community-minded individual. How would you describe your own leadership skills?
Wow, I love the brilliant next-door neighbor, right? That's great. And can bake cookies too, probably, right? Well, I really do take leadership and leadership development and paying attention to your own skills and being self-reflective super important. It's really critical to be an effective leader. And I guess the things that I really pay attention to and what I want to bring to this position is authenticity. We talk a lot about being authentic, but I think it's important to be open, be honest. What you see is what you get, and being transparent so people don't have to guess or try to figure out, you know, what's the end game or what's really happening. Openness, transparency is really critical. Collaborative, engaging others, and coming in with the assumption that, hey, I don't know everything. I need a good team to be able to help us figure out how we move forward, and let's work together to figure those things out. And it's important that you don't surround yourself with people that always agree with you, right? And you have that. I believe in empowering people, and I believe that it's really important to engage people in the work to be done at the university. So I guess that's a little bit about me.
All right. So you talked about self-reflection a little bit. And you've also talked about how when you were a first-generation college student yourself, and just last month you held a celebration for first-generation college students here at St. Cloud where you shared your own story with us. So why is it important for universities to hold events like that to highlight the different demographics of SCSU?
Yeah, you know, let me just start with a little bit of a story. So this is my, you know, first semester here, brand new to St. Cloud State, brand new to St. Cloud. And it reminded me what it's like to be in a place that you don't know anything about. And when I think about that and I reflect on what it's like to be a first-generation student and what my experience was like, it's really important to say to our students who are first-generation, we understand that this is all new. We understand that this higher education's maybe difficult to navigate, and we understand that, and we want to make sure that you succeed. So in order to do that, we want first-generation students to know that we're there to kind of be navigators and guides to ensure that they know the resources, the mechanics of what it's like to be a student, the business of being a student, in addition to how to prepare academically.
All right. Well, being brand new to St. Cloud, you've been here for about 6 months. What were some of your first impressions of not only the university, but the town? And how have those impressions changed?
What I will say is that, let's start with the town. So St. Cloud is a great size city as far as I'm concerned. About 100,000, right, with all of the surrounding areas. And it's easy to navigate. Gosh, you have to wait at a light like maybe 3 minutes and that's it. So the traffic's not bad. There's retail, there's theater, there's arts, there's pretty good restaurants that you can attend. So just in terms of comfort in navigating the town, it's great, a lot to offer. And I love the diversity of the town too. So people are very welcoming. It's been a great transition. St. Cloud State is really my when I did my homework for this job, I did a lot of research about the university, and it has so many strengths and so much to offer in terms of its academic quality, the diversity of our students. I mean, we have students from over 90 different countries. That's pretty phenomenal. I love that. And so my first impressions was it's a vibrant place. It's a great university, good people, high-quality faculty. The students are wonderful. I've enjoyed getting to know all the students and the staff and all the alumni that I've met talk about how proud they are of being an alumni of St. Cloud State. So those were my first impressions of St. Cloud State. And what I have to say is that it continues to be my impression. Every day I meet people that have graduated from St. Cloud State. They're proud of the university. I learn so much every day that confirms what a great institution it is.
All right. So during your welcome speech earlier this year, you said public higher education changed your life, and you want others to have the same opportunity, regardless of their socioeconomic status. You also said later, you don't ever want students to think they don't belong here because they can't afford it. So how do you plan on closing that achievement gap and not only recruiting first-generation students, but to retain them?
Yes, that's right. So as when I talked about that story, one of the things that I remember very clearly is when my mom said that somebody told her when she was in elementary school that if her parents didn't have the money to afford school supplies, that maybe she didn't belong in school. And so, you know, it's like, no, that's not right. And it stuck with me. And of course, being from a blue collar family and needing financial aid and scholarships to support my undergraduate education, it is absolutely important to me to level that playing field. So it's a great question. And one of the things I think is really important to make sure we're closing that achievement gap is helping students be able to, first of all, be prepared academically and supporting that transition into higher education. And I also think that it's important to broaden our portfolio of scholarships, work study opportunities, and other things that will help students. So one of the things that's a priority for me coming in as president is working with our foundation and with Vice President Matt Andrew to really work hard to expand the philanthropy and our donations that come in to support our students. Because when we can offer students a scholarship that can help books, room and board with tuition, we're helping to level the playing field. And then I think the other piece, too, I've been thinking a lot about recently is perhaps thinking about how we can provide financial literacy, is what we call it, right? So students coming in, making sure they understand how to build budgets, how to navigate work study or financial aid or loans to be able to afford higher education. The other piece, too, I guess I have to say, is that we want to continue to work with our colleagues at Minnesota State and our legislators to help us continue to fund higher education at a level that will help us remain affordable. So there's all these moving parts that we need to pay attention to ensure that we're leveling the playing field and we're closing the achievement gap, the access gap, really.
Yes. So with all those moving parts, not only just here at the university, but with legislation and with the other Minnesota State, almost said Minsky, I guess they're not Minsky anymore.
But Minnesota State, that's right.
But with Minnesota State, It is my understanding that SDSU's budget has been shored up this year, and you don't plan any significant cuts. In fact, you're considering reinvesting into some programs or needs on campus. Can you briefly tell us a little bit about that?
I can. And what I want to say to begin with is that before I arrived, a lot of folks on campus worked really hard to be in a position where we are today. And doing some hard work around budget trimming, budget cuts, and so on. So coming in, yes, our budget status is that although our enrollment was off a bit from our targets, it was within the range that we had budgeted for. So that's really great news because we're working really hard to begin to do some additional work around increasing our enrollments and our retention. So our retention was up 5% from last year. So that's really great news. And we have a new division of strategic enrollment management that's helping us recruit more students, and spring is looking good too. So all that being said, as we build our enrollments, our revenues will continue to grow. And we need to begin to think about how we want to reinvest and invest in the things that we value here at St. Cloud State, and really continuing the university forward in some really key areas.
All right. So throughout your first semester here at St. Cloud State, I'm sure you've met with a lot of people and done many interviews like this one. Well, in the last 5 months, what have been the top two or three things people have told you that they want to see happen at St. Cloud State University?
Oh, that's yes. You know, one of the really great things about being a president is you get to meet a lot of people. And the other great thing about it is they love to tell you their experience or what they're hopeful for. And the one or two things, what I'll say, the first one I will say is that it's more of a qualitative thing. And it's not quite so concrete. But I think the community, St. Cloud State community, is very interested in kind of St. Cloud being able to reclaim its preeminence in higher education in the state of Minnesota. Because we lost some enrollment, I think folks felt like maybe we lost some preeminence. We lost our position in the state. And so I think one of the things that people are looking forward to is building... getting a little bit of swagger back and being out in front in the state of Minnesota in higher education, some hope and some vision about where we're going and how we're going to get there. So that's pretty exciting. I think we have also some, as I mentioned, you asked me earlier about kind of how we're going to rebuild some things. You know, there are some units on campus that, quite honestly, we're going to have to look at and see how we might need to add additional staff to get work done. And that's just one of the things we're going to have to do, take a look at that. So people are very interested in how we're going to attend to some shortage of FTE and staff that we have in different units. But I also think one of the things that's really a big issue that people are interested in addressing is the some of the facilities. So Hallenbeck Hall, for example, could use a refresh. Our education building needs a refresh. We're looking at refreshing the administration building as a front porch to admissions, and our tours start there, right? So that could be one thing as well. And our residence halls, I think there's opportunity to refresh some of those. So I think it's really about building capacity, reinvesting in academics and academic programs, and taking a look at our facilities. Piece of cake.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're super confident, and I'm sure it will be a piece of cake.
Absolutely. Well, it's good work, and what I will say is that the state of Minnesota may or may not be able to provide all the funding we need to accomplish these things, but I see my role in working with the St. Cloud community, with private partners, to really accomplish some of the things that we really need to attend to. So it's out of the box thinking, as I say.
All right. Well, another recent story that has gotten a great deal of attention is the policy change regarding the requirements for new entering freshmen to live in resident halls or dorms. Can you explain why this change has been put in place?
Yes. So we know from research that has been done actually for a number of decades that the concept of an engaged student is a retained student. So first-time freshmen in particular is a very much an at-risk group because, as you might remember, when you come in as a first-time freshman, that first semester is really critical. Getting to know people, knowing where the resources are, feeling a part of the Husky community, that's really super important. And we know that living on campus facilitates that engagement, that it is something that the literature shows that a person that lives on campus is more likely to be retained. So it really emanated from that research that we want students to succeed. And a key piece to that is getting them to live on campus. So that's really the impetus behind it. And quite honestly, it's a pretty standard practice across the country for universities to have this requirement. And we actually have had students that said, well, so when do I make my deposit? And I know you require us to live on campus. What are my options? So students are even coming in with that expectation as well. So I think it's going to be a great move, a positive move, and I'm excited to welcome those students.
And would this policy include students that they might have done some college classes in high school, whether they be AP courses, dual credit courses, or PSEO? Since they are technically on paper, they might be sophomores. Would this policy still apply to them because they're sophomores on paper, but in person, they're still new freshmen?
That's right. And they're living probably at home, right, in the area.
Yes.
And so we have a number of exceptions or exemptions from the requirement. And one of them is, in fact, if they're living within a 35-mile radius, I think it is, that from St. Cloud State and living with parents, we're not going to require that. So there will be some exceptions to the policy so that, yeah, when you have somebody that's still in high school and really technically a sophomore, but they're still in high school, we're not going to make them come live on campus.
Okay. Very interesting. That was a fun question.
Yeah, it's a great question for sure, because we have all different kinds of students, right?
Yeah. Since St. Cloud State University holds the name of the city in its title, you can imagine there are many close community bonds that tie the community to the university.
Yes.
What is your plan going forward in order to continue and strengthen those bonds?
Yes. Well, I have to say that one of the first things that I experienced coming in as president was the outpouring of support that this university has from community members. You may know the mayor. The mayor is a champion of this university, in addition to being an alumni, of course. But he is what a great partner and such a supporter. And I have met many people in the community that are very interested. And so I'm serving on some boards in the community. I've been reaching out to different groups and organizations, and I believe that it's a very, very strong principle of mine that as the university thrives, so does the community. As the community thrives, so does the university. We are very much connected. Our fates are connected. And so it is a priority of mine as president of St. Cloud State to be engaged, to be a part of this community, and really work in partnership with the leaders in the community to not only advance the St. Cloud and the economic development in St. Cloud, but also to work to support St. Cloud State University in those engagements.
All right. Well, you have come in to St. Cloud State University on its 150th year, which has been kind of a year of firsts. We have our first full-time woman president. We've had the first time we changed a building's name without a beneficiary, Building 51 to Ruby Cora Webster Hall. And this is also the first time that we've had homecoming. What are some other expectations you have for the university going forward? Maybe new firsts that you have in mind?
Oh, yeah, it's been a good year, hasn't it? And what a great year to come in as president. I think that these are just the tip of the iceberg and things that we want to be known as being the first. And I would say in the next few years, what's going to be exciting about being here at St. Cloud State is working with the campus community to understand what other firsts we can be. Because I have to tell you that, you know, people talk about innovation and a vision and what the president brings. And in my mind, innovation is oftentimes just laying the pathway for people to be able to unleash their innovative ideas. And so in the coming year or two, I think the great work that's going to be done is trying to figure out how to unleash those innovative ideas. And while I don't necessarily can tell you, well, here's the three things that I want to do, when you ask me back in the next semester, I think we'll have some better ideas around that. But I think we can be leaders in the academic programs that we have. I think there's an opportunity to be leaders in lots of different ways. So, you know, building community like Homecoming did, acknowledging our past, like what we did with the Ruby Core Webster Building. And honestly, the 150 years of what an amazing university we are is going to be great fun to really unpack and move forward. And I just want to say one other thing, and it's a long answer, but the other piece to the 150 years, when I did research about St. Cloud State and went back to the very beginning, you can track all of the different challenges and changes that occurred over this period. And what I will say about the DNA of St. Cloud State is that it met changes at every step of the way, whether it was adding new degree programs, a name change to reflect a different university in a different time, accommodating new kinds of students. St. Cloud State stepped up and was a leader. So I think we have a great foundation to do what you're talking about.
All right. Going back to Homecoming, I remember you were very involved. You ran the 5K. There's a video that's going around Facebook of you dancing on the Atwood Mall with your two golden retrievers, which are adorable, by the way.
Yeah.
Why do you think it was so important to bring Homecoming back? And what type of image does that show to people not only in the community, but people outside of the St. Cloud community who are looking at St. Cloud as maybe a place for their child to go or for a place for them to further their education?
Well, my involvement and why I was so happy that we were able, that the folks worked really hard to bring Homecoming back, is that Homecoming does a lot of things, but one of the things it really does is it builds community. It builds a sense of pride that there is in fact a sense of pride about being a St. Cloud State University student, faculty, administrator, alumni, and I think Homecoming is the activity that really demonstrates and is a visible showcase of what that is. So I really believe that as president, it was important to be visible, to be engaged, because I'm proud of this university and I want others to be proud too. The dancing, you know, I'll have to work on that a little bit. But it's about having fun. It's about connecting with students. And one of the things that I've been trying to do when I see a Husky alumni, to give them a Husky high five. And I know it's kind of corny, but it's, you know, a university needs that connection. And when people talk about Husky Nation, you want people to say, yeah, I'm part of that and I'm proud. So I was so happy with the Homecoming and the participation we had. We had over 13,000 people attend one of the five athletic events. We had over 700 guests to any number of events that we had. So it was a good week, and I'm looking forward to building on it next year.
So it is approved for next year.
Yes, about. I think we even have the date, and it's in September, and I'll have to look at it again, but it'll be a little earlier and maybe a little warmer.
Hopefully. It was a little chilly and a little rainy at times, but that didn't seem to stop anyone.
No, and the feedback that I received actually from the community, as well as our students, is that people were super excited that we brought it back. And it was the folks that did all the work before I arrived really made sure it was a university Homecoming, not just maybe athletics or not just one group in particular. It was everybody engaged.
All right. Well, we are about to wrap up here in time, but I do have time for one more question.
Yes.
And it's more of an open-ended question for you. Is there anything that I haven't touched on that you really want to bring forward and let our listeners know about?
Well, let's see, that's a great question. First of all, I want to thank the students, faculty, and staff for being so welcoming and really helping us feel at home here. And I really appreciate that. And I'm sure the Golden Retrievers helped a little bit, and happy to share them with you all. But I think what I want to say to your listeners is that St. Cloud State is a fantastic university, and we will be a university on the move, and a university that is really a first choice university in Minnesota. And I'm just really proud of the work that folks have done and the kind of university people have built over the years. So I'm honored to be in this role, and I really am excited to have an opportunity to say let's go and do some good work.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have today. And so thank you again for stopping by our studio.
Thank you. I appreciate having the time to have a conversation. Thank you.
Well, we will talk to you again next March is when our next Presidential Update Live will be. So thank you again, Dr. Wacker, for taking the time to talk with us today. And see you next time for your Presidential Update Live here on the Voice of St. Cloud. Coming up next is Divergence with Peter V. You're listening to KVSC FM and HD St. Cloud and KMOJ HD3 Minneapolis-St. Paul.